You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Good afternoon, everyone. Can you just greet the person on your left? Give them a high five. Now, we've just concluded our series, Make Room, and this is not a series, but this is some sort of a primer to our prayer and fasting. Who among you are excited with that one? So this coming July 3 to 5, we are going to have our prayer and fasting, not just in Victory Dumaguete, but the entire Victory Philippines and every nation. So we're going to be in this together. And today we'll talk about in Christ. We'll talk about the power that we have in our identity in Christ, that we're going to bring as we start to pray and fast. So this is going to be a preparation to our prayer and fasting. Allow me to read from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 20. It says here, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To the end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth, boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel." And verse 20, "for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." Now, as the Apostle Paul closes his letter to the Ephesians, he starts talking about the armor of God that as believers we should put on in ourselves. I have here a picture of a Roman soldier. This is the picture of the full armor of God. And as Christians, we have to understand that we are in a constant battle. The moment we signed up for Christianity, we also enlisted ourselves in the army, being put in the front lines of the battle. We are also soldiers of the living God. And I want to say this, Christianity is not a walk in the park. And we have an enemy. We have a serious enemy who's willing to steal, kill, and destroy us. And when we think about enemies, our enemies are not fellow human beings. Our enemy is in verse 12. It says here, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, cosmic powers, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but the spiritual powers of the heavenly places. This is where our real battle is. So we don't want to waste our strength and our energy fighting with people, because they are not our real enemy. My parents who persecuted me, they are not my enemy. Your classmates who's constantly mocking you for your faith, they are not your enemy. The devil is just using them to distract you. Now, I have here a picture of a briefing before a mission, a tactical briefing before a mission. And in this tactical briefing, this is very important before going out into the battlefield. You know why? Because this is where we profile, or they profile, the enemy. It's important that we know who our enemy is, to have a name for the enemy, to know what our enemy's capabilities are. In verse 11, it says here, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." Now, our enemy has a name, and his name is the devil. He's also known to be Lucifer, the adversary, or Satan. But in this verse, the name used is the devil. In the original Greek, it means diabolos, or the accuser of the brethren, or the slanderer. The devil also has his name, the father of all lies. The primary weapon of the devil also is in his name. his craftiness. His primary weapon is his craftiness. In verse 11, it says there, schemes of the devil. His cunning, his trickery, his deceitful art. That is his primary weapon. In his book, Victory Over the Present Darkness, Realizing the Power of Our Identity in Christ, Neil Anderson said, Satan will try to convince you that you are an unworthy, unacceptable, sin-sick person who will never amount to anything in God's eyes. And who among you could honestly say that it is a one big fat lie? That is the primary weapon of the enemy. He has a second weapon. In verse 12, it says, but against rulers, authorities, cosmic powers, and spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. His second weapon is his cohorts. Now, the enemy is not just alone. He has an army. And he uses his army to assist him in his attack against believers. He is deceitful, a liar, and he has a bunch of army with him together to attack the believers. To attack us, basically. That's his two primary weapons. And as I've said, the enemy is serious about destroying us. The enemy is so serious in destroying us that as Christians, it leaves us no room for complacency or compromise in our faith. The very small opening that we leave ourselves open to the attack of the enemy would snatch that opening to steal, kill, and destroy us. As believers, there's no room for complacency and compromise of the faith. We might say, okay lang, one battle lang, bago pa man ko sa workplace. So para dili ko ma-left out, okay lang ni, one battle lang. Karun lang bito ni, karun lang yung kumuchit. First and last. One kiss lang, wala na isunod. One compromise. I hate to say this, but this is the reality. One compromise could lead to our demise. The enemy is powerful and should never be underestimated or taken for granted. The enemy is just so powerful. We cannot allow ourselves to be vulnerable from the attacks of the enemy. Now, as I've said, this is the truth that we have a powerful enemy. But there's another powerful truth that we have to take hold of, that we are already victorious in Christ, and our position is secured in Christ. Yes, it is true that the enemy is powerful, crafty, and deceitful, yet this shouldn't cause fear in us because our position is already secured in Christ. There's already that identity of victory in us. We are victorious in Christ. In Romans chapter 8, verse 38, it tells us that principalities cannot keep us from God's love. Meaning to say, there's a limit to their power. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10 tells us that Jesus is head over all principality and power. Meaning to say, all of these demons or the devil is even subject to Christ. If this enemy is subject to Christ, then this enemy is also subject to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24 tells us that principalities and powers have an end. In the ESV version, it even says there that Christ will destroy the enemy. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15 tells us that Jesus disarmed principalities and powers at the cross. If Jesus Christ has already disarmed the enemy, then it means to say that the enemy has no power over us. If we know the truth will set us free. We are already victorious, and victory is rooted in what Christ did for us. It isn't that there is no doing on our part, but our doing is the appropriation and application of what Jesus did. We are to live out the victory that Christ has won for us on the cross. This is the reality right here, that in Christ we are already victorious. That has been sealed on the cross. All we have to do is to live it out. We are already victorious, but the enemy is still fighting, but God has not left us powerless. The enemy is still throwing its attacks on us, its lies on us. But we have a weapon or an equipment against the enemy. It says here, He has given us divine enablement to fight and be victorious in every spiritual battle that we face so that we can continue to do the works God has prepared for us to do. God will equip us if we are willing to be equipped. In a tactical brief, and the next thing that they would do after knowing the enemy and the abilities of the enemy is to prepare their weapons. Specialized weapons used to counter the weapons of the enemy. And this is what we're going to do as well as we prepare for battle in our 3 days prayer and fasting. We are to prepare the weapons for the battle. It says in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. God has prepared for us sets of armor for us to use in order for us to stand victorious in the battle. It has the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth, shield of faith, sword of the Spirit, and shoes of peace, or the feet protected by the gospel. And this two armor is in two different sets. We have first the armor to have, and the second one is the armor to take. The armor to have is something that we put on to ourselves. Example, the breastplate is something that we can put on and carry as we walk around. Now, the other one is the armor to take. It's the shield and the sword. It means to say that our hands would be full. There's something that we have to hold on to. The sword and the shield. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14 says there, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. The first set is the belt, the breastplate, and the shoes. Let me go back to the belt of truth. Now, the belt of truth is not necessarily part of the armor per se, but the belt is necessary before the armor could be put on by the warrior. In the Roman times, they have these long tunics, and even males are wearing long tunics. When they're resting, they remove their belt so that they could relax. But the moment they prepare for battle, it's essential that they put on that belt. They put on that belt so that this tunic right here would be tucked in. Now imagine if you're wearing loose pants and you don't have a belt, what would happen? Mahubo, di ba? So it's important that we have the belt. Putting on the belt prepares you for action. It frees your movements, and it puts you in a battle frame of mind. Now, the belt allows for free movement. You don't have to worry about your tunic because it's already tucked in. In John chapter 8, verse 32, it says there, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The belt of truth will set us free, will make us free to move. There's no more hindrance in our movement because we have already been set free. The belt of truth puts on the biblical beliefs of the Christians as a whole. It is a foundation you live upon all the time. Your understanding of and confidence in the basic doctrines of the faith. This is essential. The essential doctrines of our faith. This is very important. The second one is the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate is used to protect the vital organs of the body. The heart, the lungs, and your stomach and intestines. Without the breastplate, it's easy for the enemy to thrust its sword in your vital organs. This is the breastplate of righteousness. This is not our own earned righteousness, but a righteousness received by faith in Jesus Christ. This is something that we put on. The righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. According to Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, he said, thank God for experiences, but do not rely on them. You do not put on the breastplate of experiences. You put on the breastplate of righteousness. And this is the righteousness coming from the Lord Jesus Christ. We put our full trust and dependence on the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15, it says here, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. We have here the shoes or the sandals. For the army or the soldiers, it's important to have good shoes so that they will not be hindered in walking. It gives the soldier as well good mobility. Personally, I have to choose good shoes because I run long distances. And without good shoes, I will have blisters that will hinder me in running. So it's important for us to have good shoes. In fact, Alexander the Great was able to have powerful conquests, according to historians, because his soldiers have good pair of sandals. Sandals that were able to withstand long journey, long days of walking. So they were able to conquer many nations for that matter. That's how important shoes or sandals are. The gospel provides the footing for everything we do. However powerful the rest of your body is, if you are wounded in your feet, you are easy prey for the enemy. It's important that we are able to protect our feet for mobility, for agility. And the gospel of peace gives us the motivation to keep on moving forward, to keep on pursuing God's call for our life. We must be mobile, flexible, and ready with the truth. Whenever someone would come up to you, do you know the gospel? We are always ready. The gospel is the good news that God became man in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lived the life he should have lived and died the death he should have died in our place. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, proving that he is the Son of Man and offering the free gift of salvation to anyone who repents and believes in him. We're always ready, always prepared, always on a lookout for opportunity to be able to move forward. That is how important the shoes of peace or the gospel is. That's the first set, the armor to have. We put on in our body. Now the second set of armor is the armor to take. And the second set of armor we take up from situation to situation. It's not all the time that we carry the shield and we carry the sword. It depends on the situation. As the moment demands, think about those moments of discouragement, moments of setbacks upon setbacks. Business, there's bankruptcy in your business. Relationships, busted kasigi, 5 times nakabusted. And your parents have been fighting over and over. There's a relational strife in the family. In the area of finance, lubog na ka sa utang. There's such a great financial debt. Studies, sige ra kag bagsak sa imong filo. Wala gyud kay tungtong og dos sa imong math. Problems upon problems. Those times when you feel like nothing is going your way. Think about those moments. And you're in a sense of depression, panic, and helplessness. This is those moments wherein we need to use the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. In those critical moments, we need to take the shield of faith, take the helmet of salvation, and take the sword of God's word. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, it says here, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. This shield is not just a small shield. This shield is a shield that intends to protect the entire person. Pwede kang magtago sa iyang shield. It's used to protect the person from the fairy darts of the wicked. During the olden times, ginasunog nila ang tip sa ilang arrow. It's meant to not just harm the person or the enemy, but it's also meant to create fear in the enemy, in the hearts of the enemy. When their shields are burned, they would want to drop the shield and leave themselves vulnerable from another attack. But the shield of faith, this is what the shield of faith does. According to F.F. Bruce, but the shield of faith not only catches the incendiary devices, but extinguishes them. Wala lang niya gisalo, but gipalong niya ang kalayo. Right? That's how faith does in our lives. It doesn't just shield us, but it gives us even more confidence that our faith could withstand the attacks of the enemy. Thoughts, feelings, imaginations, fears, lies, all of these can be hurled at us by Satan as flaming darts, but faith extinguishes them. All of the lies of the enemy, faith can extinguish them. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. The other armor to take is the helmet of salvation. The helmet in the olden time is a leather cap studded with metal for extra strength. Often some kind of plum or decoration was added perhaps to identify the soldier to his regiment. Now salvation is pictured as this kind of helmet, protecting the essential material, protecting the head. When there are lies of the enemy, we should protect our head. before the enemy could get to our heart, we should already start protecting our minds. We should already start protecting our minds. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8, it speaks of the helmet of salvation in connection to the hope of our salvation. That we know in our minds that in the end, we are already saved. Even though the times are tough, the storm is great, in the end, we are already saved. We will not be overcome by this testing because God has already given me the free gift of salvation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 8, it talks about hope of salvation. Another weapon that the enemy will use against us is the weapon of discouragement. And discouragement is one of the devil's most effective weapons against us. Who among you, when you're discouraged, you will not have the motivation to get out of bed, to move forward, to do the task that you have been given? You don't even have the drive to go to work? Discouragement is one of the enemy's greatest weapons. And sadly, a lot of Christians listen to the lies and be discouraged by the enemy. But having to put on the helmet of salvation, we are able to protect ourselves. We are able to keep ourselves motivated. It is the assurance that God has triumphed and will continue to triumph. When we are properly equipped with the helmet of salvation, it's hard to stay discouraged. Yes, we might be discouraged at some point, but we will be sure that we will never stay discouraged. Even without people to encourage us, we will be able to go back to God's word and get back on our feet. It's hard for us to stay discouraged if we have put on that helmet of salvation. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, it says here, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, the helmet of salvation protects us against discouragement, against the desire to give up, giving us hope, not only in knowing that we are saved, but that we will be saved. The second one is the sword of truth. To effectively use the sword of the Spirit, we can't regard the Bible as a book of incantation or magic spells or something that we just put on as bling bling. We can't just think of the Bible that way. We can't even think of that Bible as some sort of garlic that will drive any vampires. The Bible is the word of truth. The scripture is the word of God. It's something sacred. And to effectively use this sword, we must be confident in the inspiration of scripture that the sword really came from the Spirit. We must be so convinced in this one before we are able to use the sword. And in using that sword, we would begin to imagine that soldiers practice wielding their swords. Before they went out of battle, they already practiced the techniques of how to use the sword. So that when they go out into battle, the moment arises, it's already a muscle memory. They don't have to think about it. Now, as Christians, we have to understand that meditating, studying, and memorizing scripture is one way for us to practice wielding the sword of the Spirit. When faced by the situation, it's not the only time na we go to our Bible and look for unsa ganito nga word nga para ani. We already have it in our system. Whenever the situation would arise, we are able to use that sword. We are able to quote verses that would counter the attacks of the enemy. Memorizing, studying the scriptures, meditating on the scriptures. One very important example is the Lord Jesus Christ. When he was tempted, he wasn't bringing his Bible with him. He memorized and quoted scripture. The only way as believers for us to battle or to counter lies of the enemy is to use the word of God. When Jesus Christ was tempted, he used the very words of God to counter the attacks of the enemy. Now, how to use this spiritual armor of God? We have already seen that we have an enemy. We have a name, and we know the weapons of the enemy. We've also seen the equipment that God has given to us to use, and for what purposes. Now, how do we use the spiritual armor of God? In verse 18, it says here, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication, to that end, Keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth, boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. How do we use the armor, the spiritual armor of God? We use the spiritual armor of God in prayer. There's no other way for us to be able to use the spiritual armor of God other than prayer. Group prayer, individual prayer, silent prayer, shouting prayer, walking prayer, kneeling prayer, eloquent prayer, groaning prayer, constant prayer, fervent prayer, as long as it's prayer, we can use the armor of God. Prayer. It is through prayer that the spiritual strength and the armor of God go to work. A Christian can be strong and wearing all the armor, but without prayer, he's not using it for battle. It could just be a fashion that we are wearing, that I am a Christian, I am wearing this one. But without prayer, we are not able to use or to bring that armor to its purpose and use. Prayer is where we use God's armor. Often, we just don't pray because we are simply overconfident in our own abilities. I can honestly attest to that, that whenever situations would come in our family, in my life, the first thing that I go to is my abilities. And thankfully, by God's grace, He keeps on reminding me that you cannot do this by your own strength. You have to rely on the grace that I am giving you. We have to be on our knees. We have to be a prayerful people. If there's a group of people that are so prayerful, it shouldn't be the Muslims. It should be the Christians. Because God has given us the tools for us to use in prayer. Winston Churchill said to Britain in the early days of the World War II, he said, "I must drop one word of caution. For next to cowardice and treachery, overconfidence leading to neglect and slothfulness is the worst of wartime crimes." Meaning to say, for us believers, we don't have the option to rely on our own strength, to rely on our own abilities. If we do, we are walking in the trap of the devil, on the schemes of the devil. Now, we pray for what? We pray for ourselves. We pray for the desires of our hearts. We pray for other people. We intercede for people. And we also pray for our leaders, for our pastors, missionaries, and evangelists, for the gospel to be preached boldly as what the Apostle Paul said. This is the group of people whom we should pray for: ourselves, other people, and our leaders. As I close, in verse 10 of chapter 6, he said, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might." This is a call to stand against the devil. This is a call to stand firm against the enemy. Paul has clearly established our place in Jesus and then the basics of the Christian walk. Now, allow me to read this one. "In light of all that God has done for you, in light of all the glorious standing you have as a child of God, in light of His great plan of the ages that God has made you part of, in light of the plan of Christian maturity and growth He gives to you, and in light of the conduct God calls every believer to live, and in light of the filling of the Spirit and our walk in the Spirit, there is a battle to fight in the Christian life." In light of all those things that we have, there is a battle that we have to fight as Christians. And Paul is admonishing us to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. In the strength of His might. Just like what David did when his family and the family of his soldiers was captured by the Amalekites. What he first did was that he strengthened himself in the Lord. And I hope and pray that we also have that trait of David. That whenever we face some tough things and times in our life, we first have to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. Now, the armor of God, the weapon that God is giving us, is so powerful. But if we don't have the strength to carry and wield this weapon and armor, it will be of no use. We will just be easily defeated. If we are just like this person,
And we are carrying an armor so heavy, the armor itself will be a burden to us. As Christians, we have to understand that we have to learn to strengthen our spiritual foundations. That is why here in this church, in Victory, we are zealous about building strong foundations. The entire discipleship journey is designed to strengthen a believer in the Lord. This is not just any kind of process. This is meant for us to be strengthened in the Lord, to learn how to depend fully in the Lord, and not to trust on our own self and understanding. So equipping for Christian combat must begin with being strong in the Lord and in the strength of the might of God. This does not happen miraculously by just saying the words. We have to put it into practice. We have to put whatever we've learned from Scripture into practice to apply it into our lives. We don't want to become just Pharisees, so knowledgeable, but the word is not evident in their life. We want to be Christians, so strong, so knowledgeable, yet when people would look at us, they can see Jesus Christ in our lives. Even before us talking, they can already see Jesus Christ manifested in our lives. According to a commentary, God has vast reservoir of might that can be realized as power in our Christian life. But His might does not work in me as I sit passively. His might works in me as I rely on it and step out to do the work. Meaning to say, we have to be active in our faith. Day in, day out, we have to step out in faith, believing that God will be with us. If we don't, God's power will not be at work in us. We have a responsibility. For us to grow and mature, we have to step out of our comfort zone. We have to dive in. It doesn't matter if it's not clear, we have to dive in and learn to trust God in our situations. The key for us is by faith, rely on His might and rely on it more and more than do the work. According to Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones as well, he listed some of the things that sap the strength of Christians. Things that we're doing that drains our strength as believers. He said, a few of those things are committing to too many spiritual works or things. That we are so busy with a lot of things that we lose focus of what is important. Too much conversation. I could think of too much fellowship without discipleship. 5 days a week, fellowship. And forgetting about the most important thing, which is discipleship. Yes, it's important to have fellowship, but all the more, it's important to walk through discipleship. To follow up on people. Arguments and debates, laziness, too much time in the wrong company of people, the people that you are hanging out to. Are these people a source of encouragement or are these people draining you out of your strength? Too much foolish talk and joking. Love of money and career. A desire for respectability and image. An unequal yoking with unbeliever. Ungodly entertainment, horror movies, okay lang, di po gumahadlok. Okay lang if naay mga sensual scenes, movies lang bitaw. A wrong attitude toward or doubting the Word of God. All of these things drain the strength that we have. According to Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones as well, he said, we have to walk on the knife edge in these matters. You must not become extreme on side or the other, but you have to be watchful. And of course, you can always tell by examining yourself whether your strength is increasing or declining. With everything that you are doing today, whether it be in ministry or in the family or in the workplace, let me ask you, are these things draining you out? Are you burned out in doing all of these things? Are these things increasing your motivation to keep on pursuing God's call for your life. If not, we might have to reorganize things in our life. Cut off some things that are not essential. Cut off some relationships that are not encouraging us to all the more pursue God in our life. Verse 11, it says here, put on the whole armor of God. God gives the believer a full set of equipment, and He sends us out into the battle with everything we need at our disposal. We have everything that we need, church. And He says in Romans that we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors because He shares His equipment with us. He shares His righteousness with us. He gives us His free gift of salvation. That is why we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors not because of our own strength, but because of the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can face the enemy boldly and with all confidence because of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for us. Verse 13, it says here, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. God would not want us to crumble down in the face of storm. God wants us to stand firm and to stand strong. God has given us a call, a mission, and a course to fulfill. All of these things are meant to allow us to stand strong. Colossians chapter 4, verse 12, we should stand perfect and complete in the will of God. Stand perfect and complete in the will of God. All in all, there is a lot bound in this little word, stand. And a few of these things means that stand means that we are going to be attacked. That's the reality. As Christians, we have an enemy. We are going to face attacks. It means that we must not be frightened. It means that we must not drop or slouch, being uncertain or half-hearted. It means that we are to position, we are at our position and alert. It also means that we do not give even a thought of retreat. That surrender is no longer in our vocabulary. Our position is secured in Christ. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 7. It says here, in all things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And as we take on these 3 days of prayer and fasting, I hope and pray that we will embrace this armor of God. We will put on the full armor of God. And this is my charge to everyone. Let us all be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the full armor of God and stand in the front lines of the battle, bold, confident, and victorious in Christ.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.